The Midweek Drive Class of 2013. Nicola Clancy, Ed Wellman, Katie Grimerson, Natasha Turney, Alex Levchuk, and more from Siren 107.3 FM to the world.
Tempted to say this week the roles of Natasha Turney and Nicola Clancy being portrayed by Stephanie Cox and Grace Parkin, but we know Nicola's on her way. She's always a little bit delayed because she does things like work for a living. It's unbelievable. Very strange. Still, what a packed show to go. Katie's here. Ed's here, of course. Natasha Turney, I don't know, probably lost in the snow somewhere. You know, we'll just have to wait and see. Let's move into the weather at Nashville. What's it like, Cameron?
Well, when I went to the gym this morning, it was raining, but it's lightened up to drizzle, and now it's trying to brighten. They said sunshine by noon, so too much longer.
Yeah, that's okay. That's important. You have gone for a young lady who effectively she put a sparkle into our marathon, didn't she, Ed?
Yeah.
You know, Tonya Kennedy, you know, particularly as she came live to the show after listening to the troubles we'd had over psychic surgery, which it wasn't a major thing, Stephanie. We weren't going into psychic surgery at the time, but well, I don't know. We probably would have had more fun from that. She had Did I Just Say That? She obviously had Alleluia. You've brought another one now, but of course it's critical because this time you've got Grace Park. She is, of course, a character, an actress who portrays one of the characters in Star Trek, Grace Parkin. Let's get that thing sorted out. And Stephanie Cox to cast their creative ears over this, joining with, of course, Katie and Ed. Tonya Kennedy, take it away, Cameron. Why should we be prepped for this one?
Well, this is a brand new release for Tonya. We just released it on Monday. It's from her brand new album. And we're really excited about it. I don't know if you remember, about 1999, a singer named Chantal Kreviazuk had a hit with this song, and it went right to number one for her, and we're hoping it's going to do the same thing for Tonya. This is Before You, Tonya Kennedy on Siren FM.
So, not that I'm a lyrical analysis, more kind of lyrical gangster. Oh, sorry, 1990 reference there. But I'm sure I actually heard the words there as orated perfectly by Tonya Kennedy. Ever since I met you on a cloudy Monday, I can't believe how much I love the rain. Is that the basis of a good working relationship, Cameron? Is that what we're projecting at this particular stage?
Well, you know, if you go back to the classic hit Bus Stop Wet Day, you know, you're sharing an umbrella, so, you know.
You're making it up. Bus stop wet day, indeed. Please, you know. I mean, remember, you know, this is we've got the Lincoln Listener towards our hand. A little hello to Nikki Wells and, of course, her new Facebook friend and buddy, and indeed friend of the show who's been doing that, Penny Evans, who has been listening to the Podbean cast versions of last week's grand event and thoroughly enjoying them. But enough of such stuff. Let us move on. Grace, what did you make of the fantastic Tonya Kennedy there?
Yeah, I really liked it. It just seemed like something you could easy listening.
Easy listening, okay.
Yeah.
Stephanie?
Really enjoyed it. Yeah, we were just saying about the Nashville series coming to England recently, so we're hoping to have some more country music.
Cameron is on the case. I've already introduced him to a few key folk. There are other few key folk that we'll be working through, so it's great stuff. Katie?
Yeah, I liked it. It seemed very relevant as it's Valentine's Day tomorrow.
Did you notice that? Yeah, exactly. Already the post office in Lincoln have actually put in for special overtime rates because of the number of cards they've had to deliver to Katie Grimerson, and that's even before the holiday started. So I've been seeing the posties. They've been sort of, they've literally overwhelmed, you know, they're just exhausted, Katie. I mean, you know, fans out there, I mean, you know, Sharon obviously paying deep attention to that, but still, Ed.
Yeah, really, really enjoyed the string sounds on that one. I think, Cameron, at least number one. I think safe,
cool.
That, yeah.
Well, here's some interesting trivia to go with that. You mentioned the strings on there. We've featured the Western Swing Authority in the past. Shane Gousset, who is the fiddle player for Western Swing Authority, plays fiddle and mandolin on that single. And we've also featured a band called The Weak Need. Sean Crowley from The Weak Need sings background vocals on that.
See, this is just wondrous stuff. And Charlotte Fortune has her own song, Only Love Can Break Your Heart, a cover version, I believe, of the St. Etienne classic coming up very shortly. Carol Goodman, premier fantasy author, In a Town Built on Magic. Be careful what you dream. Are we talking Lincoln? Not really. We're talking Fairwick, USA. Any questions you'd like to put to Cameron Grace?
I'm not really sure.
that's the sort of the Derbyshire sort of routine saying no, not whatsoever, but the calls there. Stephanie?
Are you expecting a lot of success with this? Is the country genre most popular where you are?
Nashville.
Here in Nashville, the country's big. I mean, Nashville is big for all sorts of music. Metal and rock. Mm. I mean, Kings of Leon are based here. Just so many bands. Deep Purple produced their new album here, produced by Bob Ezrin.
You mentioned Kings of Leon there. Of course, I've realised that mentioning that band, I forgot to bring Ed a copy of, in fact, like the original. This is Spinal Tap to actually take away and compare with. It's all right, Ed, I'll bring it along in the near future. Okay, sort of through. Thank you.
So, yeah, I mean, Nashville's a big for every kind of music, but the tourist factor here is country music. And but, you know, like I say, we've launched this single around the world. Tanya is from Canada. So we're expecting really good airplay in Canada, but the response around the world so far, we released Monday and we're already on, I think, about 12 stations have it in rotation already.
Do you think Tonya's up for joining us in the near future again, Cameron?
I think she could be. I think we can convince her to do that.
I think so. Hopefully our last one wasn't so traumatic. I mean, it was a whole routine there. Katie, last two questions for Cameron Tilbury, please.
Cameron, have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today?
Katie, it's always special when I'm talking to you guys.
Oh, and can we look forward to connecting with you in the near future?
You can. We'll talk to you next week.
And your reward, Cameron, fish. Received a message from Lisa Barnes saying all's well with the whole thing. I can only presume maybe we're out of time schedules because we've just left two messages with Carol Goodman without any success whatsoever. Meanwhile, Penny Evans has commented that we can see the back of my head once again. It's all right. I've changed that angle now. You can now actually see Grace and Stephanie in full force, which is fantastic stuff there. Okay, executive decision now. Should we actually sort of try to dial Carol Goodman up live on air? I mean, that's, what do you think?
Well,
Third time lucky.
So
okay.
I think it's worth the risk.
Well, you know, this could be it. Failing that, we'll be going to Charlotte Fortune, and I've just left a message on her answer phone as well. Maybe it's the sort of sudden brace of cold that's kind of created no end of challenges here, but it have to happen on a show when Stephanie says, so do you ever get concerned about people maybe not turning up, maybe coordinating in all sorts of ways, etc.? You don't know, it's possible.
I think I've jinxed you. I'll apologise for that.
we just relax, we get ourselves coordinated and everything works out perfectly well, really. I suspicion this is going to go on to answer phone here. No. It's the uncertainty that makes life interesting. Perhaps it's going through into a whole heap of other scenarios there. Anyway, well, you're listening to the Midweek Drive.
We're at home right now, but if you leave a message, we'll get back to you.
Okay. Well, we hope we have the right number. We had hoped to be connecting with Premier Fantasy author Carol Goodman. It looks as though we're out of luck, doesn't it, ladies?
Yeah.
Never mind. Or Ed, indeed, from that sort of point of view. But we will work our way through this. Hopefully, Carol, we will speak in the not-too-distant future, both Incubus and, indeed, Water Witch, two splendid fantasy novels. We want to talk about Latin as well. You know, that's the key thing from that perspective. I think we'll have to sort of just hold that for another time. However, we will continue to march on in our own way. Ed, she could conceivably actually call us in the studio. What's our studio number?
She could certainly call us on 01522. Uh-huh. 837337.
Of course, she needs to have plus 44 because if she's calling from New York, it's a different line entirely from that point of view. Never mind. This is what happens when you have the uncertainty of life coming together, its whole routine. Meanwhile, Charlotte Fortune, who hopefully is all sorted through to do a whole heap of other bits and pieces, has just produced a new tune, which we've been actively producing and developing and going on with Chris Evans Show and various other bits and pieces. It's called Only Love Can Break Your Heart, keeping the Valentine theme going. By the way, in case you're wondering, of course... Stephanie and Grace have had heaps of Valentine cards as well. You know, it's a matter of course, really. It's not just Katie, it's the way things go. Here's Charlotte. Speaking, there are lots of things that can physically break your heart. A bullet, for instance, and indeed an axe, can all effectively end the old cardiothoracic scenario there. But I don't think Charlotte had that in mind when she actually produced that fantastic second time today on Siren 107.3 FM. It was aired on the morning show this morning, Charlotte, and there we are. It's up again. Well done, Charlotte Fortune. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. That's the first time I've heard it be played, because I know lots of people requested it on Radio 2 and everything down here.
Yes.
You're not
a Radio 2 girl. You know, let's face it, Charlotte, you're a Siren FM girl, you know.
Exactly.
It's crucial.
Why?
Yeah, precisely.
It's really nice to hear it. Oh, it's really weird.
Well, what did we make of it, Grace Parkin?
Yeah, I really liked it. It's very, very romantic.
Yeah, I thought so. I like the start of it. I thought, you know, these... I mean, obviously, I liked all of it, Charlotte, let's be honest. But, I mean, this particular opening... It's wonderful, you know. I mean, you know, can actually just do a riff on that, you know.
Quite cute, isn't it?
Yeah, we could play it for the No Adults Allowed people, but maybe not. It's a warning, isn't it? You know, only love can break your heart. See, as a kind of warning on that whole system. Ed,
yeah,
what did you
Charlotte, think? Beautiful, really, really lovely piece of music, isn't it? Lovely undulating melody that kind of just draws you in right from the opening notes there that Alex just played. But yeah, it's the first time I've heard it, and it won't be the last.
These will be these notes.
Yeah.
Yay! Bye on iTunes tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Will do. Tonight,
Katie?
Yeah, I thought it was very relaxing and classy.
Classy, yeah, exactly. Classy. And when Katie Grimerson says something is classy, you know, or even classy, either of those routines, you know, Northern Lass, Birmingham, you know, it's top for it. Stephanie?
Lovely. I think we're going to have to play it again on tomorrow's show and get all loved up for Valentine's.
Well, there you are. Although, why we wish to celebrate that Al Capone massacre, I've never quite understood. But still, you know, maybe that's the American studies person coming out in me. That's a key thing from that. Good professional production. I mean, we were having a look at your YouTube show reel and video as well. And, I mean, basically, it's just going from strength to strength, really, on this particular routine. So is this available to purchase through one of those iTunes thingies and various other factors as well?
Yeah, this song is released tomorrow on iTunes.
So you say
right on Valentine's Day.
Yep, exactly. Because it is a warning, you know. Only love can break your heart. Initially,
I think
people
might forget tomorrow because it's Valentine's Day and they're all a bit like caught up in their own moment.
Yeah.
Like, should have released it earlier, but you know, I'm going to try and plug this and see.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you've got obviously the Valentine's routine from that perspective, and then for people who've forgotten to actually send their true love a card or such like stuff, etc., you can always actually just play that, and then once they actually hear the opening. That's it, it'll just be poignant, you know?
Exactly.
And, of course, not to be confused with Love Will Tear Us Apart, which was a completely different line by another band entirely, really, but Joy Division, I believe. But that one, I'm not wrong, that was originally produced by St Etienne, is that right?
Yeah, that was the original. Yeah.
Which I like, and normally I'm not one for cover versions, but what you've done there is just a nice little riff on the whole system.
It's very plain, and I wasn't allowed to do too much with it. I started putting all my musical theatre classical singing into it, and it was like, no, strip all that. I just want it as plain and simple as possible. It's all about heartbreak, and I was like, okay.
It's quite hard to keep it plain. You would have been needed, Charlotte, to actually be at the sing-out that Ed was actually present last Thursday for the rehearsal, when in fact they had a huge turnout for the rehearsal for Emma Smith's scenario. Mega, you know, Katie wasn't there, Stephanie wasn't there, Grace Parkin wasn't there, but three human beings were, making a grand total of four. Thankfully, Saturday improved.
Shame.
I know.
Yeah. I had to put the microphone down and sing in the choir on Thursday to make a quartet.
Oh, wow.
But it all came together on Saturday, and a great time was had. You know, community singing at its best, I think.
Oh, I love a bit of choir singing. I miss that.
So, Charlotte, where are you at present? Where in the world of London town do we actually find Gloucester's finest? Yes, you know, I'm afraid you've actually exceeded Natasha Turney and Hannah O'Brien. We hardly ever see these days, so you're officially...
Well,
Bristol. Yeah, you see, there, my girl. There we are. So, hello. We switched the computer on.
Gloucester. That's all Gloucester. Are they all taught out there?
Do you know, you could almost have been quoting from the latest novel produced by Jenny Finch, The Drowners. In Somerset, it is carnival season once more, but Alex Hastings is not in the mood to join the festivities. I would hope that Jenny Finch will be, because she is actually booked as our author for the next part of the programme. What's happened to the magical world of Incubus and Carol Goodman? I don't know, but, you know, worry not. We will coordinate the whole thing through. Anyway, describe where you are at present, Charlotte.
So I'm currently, I've just got my house, actually, in Canada Water.
Right, very good.
I just walked through the shopping centre, got my fringe cut, and bought some eggs.
Oh. No,
I'm at home.
Nice, you know, when you get your fringe cut and you get your eggs, you know that life's, you know, sorted from the whole thing.
No, it's because I'm making cupcakes.
Oh, fate.
For tomorrow, we're making some little Valentine's cupcakes.
Oh, you know, is that what the record company have got you doing these days? Is that, you know, they basically sort of say, you know, I'm sorry, we'll do the deal for you, but you need to make cupcakes for us.
They're not paying me for the cupcakes.
So negotiate. You know, you need a better agent.
Certainly.
Charlotte, so there's, Stephanie, questions for Charlotte.
Well, you're saying you've had to nip down to the shops to get some eggs. Did you not have any left over from Pancake Day?
Exactly, no. I had about 20 pancakes, but we had a machine, like this French machine. My friend's housemate's French, and there was like six little places. They're like quite small round circles. So we they were smaller ones, but I had about 20.
Lovely.
So we did sweet and we did savoury. Yeah, it was lovely.
But as ever, because I know you're the sort of girl who can actually take this challenge and rise to it, I'm going to ask you to actually... What's he doing now? Are you talking to a computer instead of actually doing a radio interview?
Things have started talking to me. My computer's just turned on. It started talking to me. some security protection. It's just started talking.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You can go to sirenonline.co.uk. You might find, if you click on Listen Live, your computer will start talking to you. But it's just us. Don't worry. That's how we spread the word.
You know?
Well, I'm thinking, Charlotte, why not lead the computer in a little song? Because I'd like you to actually take the first verse of this particular number, because I think we're going to do a little bit of a cappella stuff. That being, of course, the introduction. And if you've got the opening line, let's see if we can actually do it, you know, and lead the team into this whole thing. So, in your own time, Charlotte, sing away, please.
When you were young and on your own, how did it feel to be alone?
See, a round of applause for Charlotte.
Yeah, I think so.
You know?
That's
what she can actually do. Normally, we actually get her to do those live singing things when she's in a London Underground train or various other routines. But yeah, I figured this time we've got the eggs listening, and that's important. Not, of course, dear listener, I'm referring to you as an egg. Let's be important. Tomorrow morning, Song of the Eight Winds is the Peter Kerr epic tale of medieval Spain. We'll be actually reviewing and working through, because Peter will be joining us as one of the patrons of the Lincoln inspired scenario. But Charlotte, you will be returning, will you not, in a matter of hours from now?
Yes, I will.
Was it
8:15 in the morning, was it?
I think so. We're going to squeeze you in just ahead of Richard Fitzwilliams and just after Ethan Dettenmeyer. So we've kind of answered that question, but Ed, what's the first question we need to put to our top contributors here?
The
first of the two questions that there would be the party of the last question, as in the aforementioned.
Well, Charlotte, it's the question is this: have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this afternoon?
It's been lovely, and I'm so happy that I heard my song on the radio for the first time.
You'll hear it again tomorrow, you know. So
I keep missing them, to be honest, because they keep putting it on, and I can't.
Charlotte, are you near a computer? Are you near a computer?
Yeah, but it's like doing something.
No. Because I'll tell you what, here's your challenge. If you can go to sirenonline.co.uk, which is what Phil Leonis would actually do, and after all, Phil Leonis can come out with this.
The truth is always out there, sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
If you can actually get to sirenonline.co.uk and then actually click on Listen Live, you don't have to worry about the webcam.
Live player.
Live player, that's right. We will play that classic tune, Only Love Can Break Your Heart, by Your Good Self, at around about 25 past six this very day. All right, you know, think that's all right. So you can, there we are. You can even inform your parents. They can listen. They can spread the word. Tweet us in all sorts of things. So then you can listen to the whole thing.
It doesn't want to work on my computer.
Oh no! Well, because we need you to send an email saying it's all right. I am connected. Once that's there, we've received that routine. We will actually play it in the second part of the program. If we don't receive it, people will have to wait until tomorrow morning. Sorry, it's harsh, but...
No pressure, then.
it's just a way forward. In the days when record pluggers would actually just do A&R stuff and they just go...
Oh, I've got it.
Yeah.
You talking. See?
There we are. That's the whole... So, Charlotte, stay tuned to that. Lots of mentions. It's all getting very peculiar now. And we'll see... We will connect again. You see, that's all you need to do. Quite simple, really. Here's David Cassidy.
I've been lonely too long.
So if you've been lonely too long, you simply need an incubus, a succubus, or some other scenario to actually sort of... Maybe a fairy would actually be good to come from the land of fairy. Remember, in a town built on magic, be careful what you dream. Nicola Clancy has just texted in to say she's listening to the show in traffic. She's not sure whether she'd actually drive into the studio because the snow is a bit scary. Make that effort, Nicola. It'll be worthwhile because online now, a genius author who, because of her Latin scholarship, would have been able to identify Pope Benedict's resignation speech right immediately, spot on, etc. We say welcome to the Midweek Drive, Carol Goodman. How are you, Carol?
I'm doing great, thank you. I don't know if my Latin is quite that good, though.
Well, I mean, he could have been saying something completely different. He could have been saying, you know, the fairy people have actually landed. It's a routine.
I believe that's what it was.
I have in my right hand one fantastic text, in another hand another fantastic text. Water Witch and Incubus. This is where all stories start, on the edge of a dark wood. Cracking material, and indeed a complete change from the sort of notion of the Lake of Dead Languages.
Wow. I see the line from one book to the other. I've always used mythology and fairy tales in my realistic fiction, and I just got to a point where I wondered what it would be like if the fairy tales were real. That's the connection.
That does tie in, and I've got to say, in terms of one of the strap lines which says hopelessly addictive, I'd agree with that. I went online, purchased both texts. I mean, you know, Katie will say that for me to actually buy two actual books, it's unbelievable, but I thought, it's rare routine from this point of view. I think infinitely better than Charlene Harris's True Blood series, and certainly ahead of Stephanie Meyer. So it's great stuff. We'll open it up for questions for the team in a few moments, but would you like to give me a couple of things we're going to run through? First of all, Carol, right hand or left hand? Right hand or left hand, which one would you like me to go for?
Right hand?
Right hand, okay. Katie, would you like to give me a number between 1 and 428, please? Katie, yes?
300,
okay. Now, bear in mind, some of the scenes are a little bit saucy, so I might have to sort of just adjust that, etc. I'm sure we'll be fine. We'll work our way through that. We'll give you a little sign. And obviously, it's written from the female perspective, so as indeed Penny Evans would say, it's strange hearing Alex's voice reading that of a female character. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. Anyway, here we go. For a moment, I considered telling her I was going to Annie's. I hated admitting to her that I was friendless on Christmas Day, but then I realised that she was apparently alone, and lonely enough to be checking her home voicemail by remote, and chided myself for my selfishness. I'd love to, I told her. Come at one, she answered crisply. And remember, the Grove Club doesn't allow jeans. I hung up, feeling like a sulky teenager who had to be reminded to dress properly for her college interviews, and remembering why I always tried to keep up my interactions with my grandmother brief. I meant it when I defended her to Annie last night. She wasn't that bad. She could have sent me off to boarding school, but she'd opened her small, tidy two-bedroom apartment to me, giving up her study for me to use as a bedroom, although many of her books and papers remained stored in my closet, and dutifully oversaw my education until I went to college. It had been a little jarring when she retired to Santa Fe the same week I graduated from high school. It meant that I had to spend all my holidays either in the dorm or on a friend's couch. But I couldn't really blame her. At least she'd waited until I graduated high school to move. She'd been complaining about the New York winters and talking about retiring to Santa Fe, where she had a house she'd inherited from an aunt, for years. I was surprised that she'd come back to New York during the winter. I dressed carefully in a wool skirt and cashmere sweater and put my hair up, recalling that Adelaide always commented on how long it was if I left it down. Now, clearly, the perspective of Calyx there, Calyx McFay.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, I'm thinking, Adelaide, sweet little grandmother, she's a witch!
She's a witch!
quite literally, in every sense of the whole routine. You know, amazing. And, you know, it just gets better and better. I mean, from Incubus, which is a line from that, right the way through to Water Witch, dive in if you dare. What I have to say, though, I mean, the next question is crucial, Carol, because, you know, you finish off Water Witch with, there's another door.
Right.
I'm finishing this off like, there's another door. You put us through that.
Where can I open it now?
Exactly. You put us through this the whole sort of ringer where you actually said, and I have to say, I thought, you know, look, Calyx, she doesn't actually sort of need to hang out with, you know, the Duncan chappie. You know, he's not good for her. You know, Bill the handyman, though. Handyman Bill.
Sorted.
It's
a different story.
A different story, different time. Nice bloke, like the Norse mythology. Katie, any questions you want to put to our ace author here, Carol Goodman?
I read on your website that you studied Latin. What made you want to study that?
I still ask myself that. I sort of fell into it accidentally. I probably would have been an English major, but thought I wanted to do something different. And I started taking Latin in college and fell in love with the poetry and decided to do that. So... And it oddly became what I wrote my first book about. So it led back to writing in really interesting ways.
It does connect together super well. Yes, Katie.
It's good to be different.
It seems silly to say that now, but I think everybody I knew was going to be an English major, so I thought I would be a little different. And the Latin classes were very small, and I loved the teachers.
Cogito ergo sum. As indeed has many a philosopher said in times past. There we are.
Yes.
Stephanie.
Reading through this, you've obviously got an interest here in the demons and the fairies and the supernatural world.
Yeah.
Is that something that you've completely made up, or is there any substance behind it?
I thought it was docudrama.
Oh, no, I haven't. No, it's all real. It's all completely real. I've drawn a lot from folklore, and I think particularly from British folklore. There's some world mythology as well in Demon Lover, in Incubus and Water Witch, but a lot comes from actually the British folklorist Catherine Briggs was somebody I started reading. I've got her Encyclopedia of Fairies that sits on my desk, and so I try to draw from that traditional and then sort of do my own variation of it.
And of course, there were always the Cottingley fairies, which I know, Grace, you remember when I introduced the Cottingley fairies into the reporting continuity change
that
seminar.
Was Conan,
yes, I do remember.
Those were the fairies that Conan.
Arthur Conan Doyle, the Cottingley fairies.
Yeah, right. Which they say is a hoax.
They say, but that's what they would say. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
You know? That's the line I direct series.
Yeah, such a rich tradition of fairy lore in Britain, so I've drawn a lot from that.
Ed.
Carol, like you, I enjoyed studying Latin lots and lots. I did it all the way through secondary school. And we actually had to opt to study it. We had to go after school twice a week. And I can remember Quintus est Servus and Cerberus est Carnis. Does that mean anything to you?
Okay, so Quintus is a slave. Uh-huh. And what was the dog?
Cerberus est Carnis.
Oh, Cerberus is a dog.
So
yes,
that's all that sticks with me. But
I'm so pleased with myself to have been able to translate
nice,
that.
Yeah. Well done. I know that your agent didn't say you'd be getting a Latin quiz on this one, Carol, but you know,
we like
to be a slightly different radio service. That's what we're about here. You know? Cerberus, wasn't he the name of the dog who actually guarded Hades as well? I'm sure
he was.
Sort of,
yes. Busy dog.
Yes. Dog
exactly.
Good.
Wonderful stuff. Stephanie, any other questions or queries? Time's tight, but we'll be going up to the news in a few seconds. So.
Oh, I'll ask a quick question then. How was Alex's reading for you? Was that what you expected of your book?
Oh, I loved how he read it. It was perfect reading.
Oh.
And I at first I was like, what scene? He could have picked many a racist scene that would have embarrassed us all.
Yeah, the random selection. There are certain moments, particularly the opening sequence.
He was the grandmother, yes.
It was.
That's tame enough.
I think we worked through that. The portrayal of the characters, I think, worked superbly well. I did like the notion that you were thinking Amy Acker would make a perfect Calyx.
I love her,
which I think clues. I might probably throw into that our very own Lily Holloman, because I think she'd be good from that point of view. Yeah. And if we're looking for an audio version, maybe even Penny Evans. But I think in an American scenario, though, I think Lily Holloman, that's another line I'll throw into the mix in terms of when we're casting over.
I would be delighted. I love British television, so
I'm not, I think
have
it,
at it.
Yeah, it's above. Nice. You see the upstate New York. Have at it. Fantastic stuff there. Are you a kind of keen follower of British folklore? Have you been over to the United Kingdom and sort of checked out the sort of sequence here? Because there were a lot of things you channel there, which I think do echo the sort of British folklore tradition.
Really, mostly for these books, I've been stuck at home doing the research, but I'm a bit of an Anglophile, and I did go over last summer. I went to London and Scotland, and I'm going over to Scotland. There's a Scot. I will give a little bit of a spoiler for the next book. The third Fairwick book, there's a little trip to Scotland that Calix takes.
Uh-huh.
And so, of course, I had to do the research.
Yeah. Well, you've got to sort the right kind of plaid, the right kind of tartan. Otherwise, you know, how can you actually cope with the Ondine or the Undines when they actually sort of wish to spawn? And every 100 years, who knows what could happen? They are both fantastic books, of course. The titles are... Stephanie?
We've got Incubus.
Incubus is the one to start off with. And the next one, of course, is...
Water Witch.
Water Witch. Classic titles. And well worth... Quick question. Is it with... Obviously, Calex is the pronunciation of Calix McFaye. Do we then say Callie or Kaylee?
I say Callie. I know that probably you could have said Kaylee, that seemed a little confusing to me. I've been saying Callie, but I think she would probably answer to
fantastic.
Kaylee. I'm sure she's used to having her name mispronounced.
And
I'm impressed that you pronounced it correctly.
Well, I always like to do our research. Very important. So that's a crucial thing. So two final questions for your good self at this stage, Carol. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on this Your Midweek Drive debut?
Oh, it's been wonderful. It's really quick to keep up with. And I feel like I've... Now I'll have to go have some tea and scones.
So can we look forward to having you back on the show in the very near future for a slightly longer session?
I would love to, and I will be home on time.
Thank Carol. We had a little panic, but all's well with the world.
We're
going up to the news from the Siren News team precisely at 5:45. But for the moment, we set a round of applause, please, for Carol Goodman. Sorted through there. So happy drilling, of course, carolgoodman.com. All sorts of other magical things from that perspective. But now, with the time at 5:45 precisely, it's time for the Siren FM News.